I've been, as usual, I've been reading the statements that some of you have sent with great interest, and it's one of the things that's fascinating to see is how natural it is also that we have the same issues that come week after week and probably month after month, because that's how our lives are. So when things become difficult and complex, our concerns are in many of the same places. For some of us, it's children or loved ones in care homes, and how they're managing without the emotional support that they usually get. For some of it, it's our own health. For some of it, it's people that we live with and the difficulties in that. For some of us, it's the future, our work. How's our work going to return? Will it return? What does the future hold for us? And I was reflecting on two things in my morning meditation. I meditate before coming here every morning, and the first thing that struck me was this old saying from Zen Buddhism, which is before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. And in a way, it covers our tendency is to keep hoping that we can let go of some of the concerns that we'll do psychotherapy or we'll meditate or we'll do yoga and we'll become better people and we will also have more peace of mind and sometimes that happens, but the mind also has its own rhythms, and in an uncertain life, our mind also has to deal with uncertainty. And I don't think that anybody can ever let go of that. I don't think that we stop working with that. I think it's our version, the inner version of chop wood and carry water. It's the feelings, it's the thoughts that we carry with us. And I think that we are challenged. I know I am challenged, and people I know are challenged because we are suddenly faced with this uncertainty that's different than anything that we have experienced in our lives. And to some degree, it has reminded me, and still reminds me of my own childhood when we would check in a few times a day. Because it was in the middle of the Cold War crisis, the Cuba crisis, and the Cold War following. And we never knew whether the balance was tilting towards we would suddenly find ourselves in atomic warfare or not. And I'm also reminded of my parents and their stories that being a child, I could see like a movie in my head. Of how they would check a few times a day to see how is the war going, how's World War II going today, what's happening today, what are the restrictions today. So in a way, it strikes me that that's just in our part of the world. And of course, in other parts of the world, there has never been the kind of peace and plenty that we have gotten used to over the last several decades. So right now we are growing inside. We are being required to expand inside, to hold a level of uncertainty and also a sense of grief for the things that we cannot do, our inadequacies, our uncertainty and our inadequacies, the things that we are not able to do that we really would love to be able to do. The things that we'd love to care for, the people that we would love to care for, that we can't care for, the ways that we want to make things better that we can't. So that's, of course, always a part of life. But right now, it's very much in our face. It's very much in our hearts. It's very much in our minds. and not knowing how that will change. Change is a given, so we know that it will change, but we don't know how it will change. We are faced with a very great uncertainty about what the, not perhaps tomorrow as in Saturday, May 2nd, but tomorrow as in June, July, August, September, Christmas 2021. We don't know what it's going to look like. And there's nothing wrong with that. That naturally evokes some fear. It evokes some fear at the edge of the unknown, which is something that it is healthy and sensible to live with. It can also evoke a kind of inner stretching, an inner growing in spaciousness. I mentioned several meditation sessions ago, something that my teacher has been teaching. It's actually part of a Tantra teaching, but I learned it from my spiritual teacher, Jes Bertelsen. And one of the things that he wrote in one of his books and that he's often taught is this difference between the problems that we can solve and the problems that we cannot solve. And where the problems that we can solve is a wonderful thing to go ahead and figure out how to solve them and then do that. But then he went on to write that all of the big problems in our lives are not solvable. We're not going to solve death. We're not going to solve suffering. We're not going to solve uncertainty. We're not going to solve that the future is uncertain. We're not going to solve that there are people that are suffering. And we would so much want them to not suffer. And there are some very, very serious limits to what we can do, and we feel inadequate. We're not going to solve that. It's not going to go away. Sometimes it's just much more intense than others. Does this make sense to you? Yeah. I'm going to scroll through, so nod slowly so you don't get tired while I look at you. Yeah, that makes sense to many of you. But it also doesn't make sense to some of you, looks like. Are there some of you that it does not make sense to? Then shake your heads, please. Okay, that was a good question. Didn't get any head shakes here. So what does one do with the unsolvable problems? There's a very beautiful story from Rachel Remen's book. I believe it's, she's written two, I believe it's from Kitchen Table Wisdom, and where she has a young man in therapy, and this young man, he's a 17-year-old or something. He's been diagnosed with diabetes, and he's furious. He's been healthy, he's been an athlete, and now suddenly he has to take care of himself. He has to inject himself twice a day. He has to eat sensibly. He hates it. And he basically refuses to do all this, so he gets taken to the hospital time and time again because he's in shock, and they have to really do something to get him back again. And his family is terrified because he's trying to ignore this diabetes. And so he's in therapy with Rachel Remen, and they're not making much progress. I'm kind of quoting this from memory. But one day he comes in and he's upset, and he's upset about a dream he had. And the dream goes something like this. He's not a religious person. He doesn't have any religious leanings at all. But he in this dream, he's looking at a small Buddha figure. I happen to have one right here. A small Buddha figure. So this Buddha figure, he's looking at it. And he has, for the first time, he has this sense of peace that's kind of emerging inside his heart that he hasn't really felt for a very, very long time. And after he's been sitting there, he's just starting to settle, and suddenly out of nowhere, from behind him somewhere, there's this dagger that comes flying by him and just buries itself in the heart of the Buddha, in the middle of the chest of the Buddha figure. And he's horrified. And he feels shattered. But he keeps looking. And for a long time, it doesn't look as if anything is happening. But then, imperceptibly, the Buddha figure starts to grow. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. Until finally, there's this tiny little dagger sitting in the heart of a huge Buddha figure. And I think that that's a learning to all of us, that our hearts need to grow, we need to grow. It's not just our hearts, it's our solar plexuses and our minds, and we need to grow so that inside, so that we can handle the uncertainty and the fear and the inadequacy. And to do that, we do need our resources. As you know, I'm always riffing back and forth. So to do that, we need to bring our resources in as part of that which supports us, as whether it's nature, whether it's family members, whether it's our own yoga or meditation practices or other things that we do, our gardens, the animals, our own animals or the wild animals outside that are rejoicing in the reduced human activity, whatever your resources are. They need to help us do that, to allow the unsolvable problems to help us to grow, to help us to grow bigger. So that was, and I've said this before, I say this to myself on a regular basis. I've said it in these meditations before, because that's also the nature of life. Chop wood, carry water, remind ourselves of the things that will keep coming. So let's see if we can figure a way to do that in a meditation together. And we will start, to your great surprise, with stretching and yawning. Notice if there are any particular parts of your body that are asking for attention right now. It could be suddenly discovering that your hands or your toes are cold. And it could be kind of reconnecting with a backache or a neck ache that you had when you woke up this morning. Oh, and that's still there. It could just be listening into parts of your body and noticing, what would they like to do right now? What would they like to do right now? Mm-hmm. And some of you may be spending time sitting a lot these days because we are spending time in front of our computers and writing, or we're doing Zoom meetings and stuff like that. So if that's the case, take a bit of time to shift over and give your buttocks a nice massage, because they're doing some hard work for you these days. And they get kind of deadened. There's not much pleasure in being buttocks when we sit so much. And remember to breathe while you're doing that. Let's see if you can find yawns as well. There may be other parts of your body that are longing for some touch. Those of us who live alone aren't getting touch from other people much at the moment, if at all. It's not quite the same to touch ourselves, but a lot better than nothing. I'm going to mute you for a moment so I can blow my nose. Mute myself, actually. Oh, yeah. And after you've worked with certain areas of your body, then if you relax, then you'll notice that other areas of your body start to ask for some attention as well. Maybe it's stretching your back. Maybe it's massaging your head. Maybe it's moving your tongue around. Which is likely to get you some more yawns. And it's an area we often forget, which is the front of our throat here, throat area. And as you yawn, notice there's usually an after effect in your body, right after the yawn, sort of at the end of the yawn and after it. There's this streaming sensation that can go all kinds of places. It can go into your arms or down your body, or it can go down your legs, into your feet. Like a tingling or a streaming. It can come with stretching too. So see if you can get curious for a bit about this sense of kind of the spontaneous inner shifts. How sensations change with stretching. How your autonomic nervous system responds. It's like when we do something, we're talking with our nervous system and it talks back. So Taking time to notice in this inner forest, this enormous, complex, amazing inner network of cells and sensation and experience. Notice how it's moving constantly. And how it invites movement. When we listen to it, it says, oh yeah, how about a stretch in this left forearm? How about a yawn? How about wiggling some toes? And then there are these kind of waves afterwards, during and afterwards, of sensation that come in that area that has just moved, but also often in other areas. And noticing your breathing rhythm. It may feel comfortable to continue to move. You're welcome to do so. Movement is always welcome. The important thing is to give time to that movement, to move in the rhythm of your inner world, instead of in the rhythm of a kind of fix-it thought pattern or impulse, just moving in the rhythm of your breathing, your body, the impulses that come. Body has its own natural way of moving towards pleasure, towards depth. It's always there for us if we listen to it. And as you move, or as you come to stillness, if that's what's happening, again, noticing the sense of the waves of your breathing. Sense of cool air coming in through your nose or your mouth or both, and traveling inside you, down into your body, and actually from there getting absorbed into your body and traveling all the way out to every cell. This happens at the same time that you're also exhaling the oxygen that you don't need, and also some carbon dioxide. So these little molecules of air are actually traveling from the outside world, in the space around you, into your body, and goes on a wild tour all around your body. Then other molecules transfer out again, out through your lungs, through your throat, and out through your nose or mouth. into the wider field of air. Into the exchange, the rhythm of breathing that we share with all living beings. With animals and also with plants that inhale both oxygen and carbon dioxide and create more oxygen and also create carbon dioxide. And this constant silent movement of exchanging air with plants, with the oceans, with trees. This field of air that has been created for many, many hundreds of millions of years. The oceans were filled with oxygen first, and then an atmosphere began to develop, which is what we're breathing today, right now, this breath. And this breath. And this field of air, this biosphere, is held to the earth with gravity, which in some ways feels amazing because air doesn't feel as if it has any weight at all, but it's still held. Just as we are held. So returning to this sense of your weight, our weight, my weight. Where do you notice the feeling of weight right now? See if you can notice it in other areas as well. Sometimes it's easier if you lift a body part. The classic, of course, is lifting your shoulders. So if you lift your shoulders and your arms, it doesn't have to be very much. It can be like half a centimeter. And hold it for a bit. And then notice, where does the weight go? Where does the feeling of weight go? You can feel it. Maybe in your arms, maybe in your shoulders, but you'll also notice that suddenly your back and your seat is taking more weight, feels more weight. It doesn't have to be big body parts. You can also notice it just in the lifting of a toe or a finger. Tilting your head a little bit to one side, feeling the weight shift. And noticing, feeling the sense of this as a pull. It's the earth pulling us. It's the earth embracing us. But it's not just an outside embrace, it's an inside embrace. Every tiny, almost weightless cell. Embraced. Held. Take a bit of time to relax into that. It's It's amazing that everything in us is actually geared to rejoice and grow with that embrace. Our blood pressure and our, even our genes, they actually are nourished by this holding of our planet. Our movement, every movement is a dance with this holding, this embrace. And in that field of holding, notice also your own resources, the resources that you recognize these days, the places where you find a gladdening of your heart, a sense of spaciousness. Inside this greater holding that we all share, and this greater enlivening that we all share. And from here, invite in your worries, your concerns, your pain. The pain that touches you in whatever way. The sense of the uncertainty of the future, the unknown. That in so many different ways we share with all life. And each of us has our own unique vision of it, our own unique experience of it. Allowing that uncertainty and that pain to widen your sense of who you are. Growing larger, large enough. That there is space inside you for this. Space in your awareness, which is so much bigger than your body. Allowing all of these experiences to live in you, just as they always do, but we're usually not paying attention to them. So right now we are. The difficulties, the uncertainty, the pain, the pleasure, the heart's joy. The vast space of our awareness. constant holding in the field of life, in this air field that we live in, constantly held by the earth and dancing with it. Each breath dances with it. Using that to return to during the days as the foundation for whatever is the next step. Chop wood, carry water. Do dishes. Use hand sanitizer. Comfort those that need comfort that we can reach as best as we can. Cook dinner. Remember the planet. Feel that it's still holding you. The plants are still making oxygen for you to breathe in this breath. And we're in this together. And it's time to let some of the energy that we have created together stream outwards. And the old saying is that it's not just what I have generated that is sent to those that I care about. It's all the energy that all of us generated that goes to every living being that we send it to. So our loved ones, the people that we know, loved or not loved. Our societies. And this whole vast world that we share and that shares us. And it's time to come out of meditation again. So stretching. Appreciating the aliveness of this body. Feeling it, appreciate being noticed and appreciated.